Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful week.
Yep. Well, no, but it was long.
Okay. A long week.
Really, really long
week. I'm sure everybody had a long week.
Yeah. Some had good weeks. Some didn't.
Anyway.
Makes it long or short that way, you know.
Yeah. We're celebrating an anniversary today.
Yes, which I totally forgot.
Today marks 1 year exactly to our first recording.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, that's what everybody's telling me. It's like, oh, you've been on for a year already. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot, honestly. Well, it just did not seem like a year to me.
This is episode 52.
All right. That makes a year, so we're good.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Well, that's cool. So a year's gone by, and I'm sure another year will go by just as fast, because they all seem to be going faster and faster all the time. It needs to slow down.
All right.
Anyways, I'm done ranting.
Go. Move ahead.
Okay, please.
Twitter followers. We have some.
Cool beans.
So we have American Shepherd, Harvard Humanist, Wendy Bowman, Thoughtful Agnostic, William Evans, and Strange View Studios.
It's cool to get Twitter followers.
It is.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And you too can be a Twitter follower.
Uh-huh.
And follow us at Secular Yakking.
I still think that is so boring. I know that's straight and to the point, but it's like the.
What would you prefer? I can rename it. What would you like?
It's just so short and to the point, which I guess makes total sense. It's just me.
Would you like to call us two old yaks? What?
That actually wouldn't be too terrible.
Well, that would be hard, because then everybody's got to get used to two old yaks.
Right now, I'm sick and I sound like one, so it would fit.
All right.
Anyways, go on.
We have iTunes reviews.
Do we now?
Yeah, I know I said last week iTunes reviews don't matter, but yeah, they really
yes,
do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they
totally do.
Yeah, because they help get our ratings up on iTunes so more people see us.
Well, and it's just cool to listen to.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the first one.
Okay.
Couple of cool yaks, 5 stars from Peace Be Upon Him. Huh. Love this. They make me laugh. They do what I can't. Perfect length for a ride to work. Keep it up, y'all.
Cool. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the other one is titled, Here for Yourself, 5 stars, by Baldwin4. Yeah, that's Baldwin4.
Yes,
or is
dear.
It Baldwin IV? I don't know.
See, to me, I see 4.
I know, because we were taught Roman numerals.
Yes.
Amy and Robert are a married couple and yet able to discuss things like civilized people. Listen and be amazed. So that's interesting that other married couple don't discuss things like civilized people.
I find that interesting. I don't know. I guess we have our own opinions, but at the same time, we're okay if we don't agree with things. And if you're wrong, I'll point you out.
Yeah, they don't hear us off the air.
It's not really much different.
I know that.
It's pretty much the same, just a lot lengthier.
Yes, usually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we don't have a time limit.
No, exactly.
Not that we really have a time limit on this, but...
Yeah, but that was the whole point of why we came up with the show, because we have done it forever and for long periods of time. This is the shorten it and have a point to it versus our rambling that we tend to do sometimes.
Yeah. All right,
which
fine.
I'm doing again.
Yeah, that happens.
All right, fine.
Anyway, all right, first story.
Yep.
We're going to start off our celebration with a celebration in honor of our 1 year anniversary with a Budweiser.
Alrighty.
No, we're not really going to have a Budweiser.
Because
that
would
suck.
We don't drink beer very much anyways, Budweiser, let alone a Budweiser.
Budweiser's really hardly a beer.
Well, whatever.
Anyway.
Besides, I'd be drinking hard liquor,
yeah,
not a beer.
But we're celebrating with Budweiser because they have a new labeling campaign for the summer.
Do they now?
Yes, they do. Uh-huh. They are renaming their beer from Budweiser to America.
Oh, that's interesting.
With some very patriotic wording all over their labeling.
Are they?
Yeah. They have cool stuff like Land of the Free and Home of the Brave on their bow tie.
Cool.
They have lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner.
Huh.
They have lyrics from America's Beautiful.
Really?
And they have Liberty and Justice for All.
And this is all on their label?
All on their new cans and bottles for this summer. They're celebrating America this year because of the Olympics and...
Thank you. That's what I was going to ask. What is the purpose?
Why the Olympics are in Brazil, and there's a huge soccer tournament in America this year.
Oh, is there? For
the first time.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. It was a very lengthy name, and I couldn't memorize it.
No. Uh-huh.
But my favorite part of this new labeling is right below America.
Uh-huh, I could totally
guess. It says E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
The fact that they used E Pluribus Unum instead of In God We Trust just makes me so happy.
I bet it does.
So incredibly happy.
This is pretty big for you then.
Yeah, it is. We saw this and we're like, oh my, wow. Yeah, Tom sent me this morning. I'm like, is this true?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So, and so that's pretty big news. So I'm hoping that people will look up E Pluribus Unum to find out what the hell it means, because no one knows.
Yeah.
And we'll come up in the search engine somewhere.
Right. Which you can also go ahead and translate again as well.
Oh, out of many one.
Okay, try that again. This time, E Pluribus Unum means out of many one.
See, I don't have to do it now.
Fine, I'll do it for you.
See? You already did it.
But either way, you have to be clear. On stating what you're stating.
All right, fine.
Anyways, finish your story.
So that is the story. So that's pretty awesome.
No, that's cool. It's interesting that they're deciding now all of a sudden to
do that. A summer rebranding every year. Like,
do they?
A couple years ago, they had Lady Liberty. They had other rebranding before. That's a summer promotion they do every year.
I guess I just don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, we don't really pay attention to Budweiser.
Well, that's true, too. But then again, we don't really have television, so I don't watch commercials either. So that doesn't help either.
That is true.
We do our television a much cooler way, so I don't ever have to watch stupid commercials.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
We do that by choice.
Yes, we do. And we can watch everything and anything we can think of.
All right, let's not advertise that too much.
Yeah, let's go. Anyways, move on.
Anyway, we're going to talk about somebody we have yet to talk about, but I've been wanting to for a while.
Okay.
His name is Gordon Klingenschmidt.
Is it really?
It is.
Sounds like someone I would totally make fun of.
Yeah. So Colorado state legislator and Christian activist Gordon Klingenschmidt says that offering atheist scholarships in public schools is unconstitutional, but is okay with Christian scholarships.
What? Yeah. So he says no to the atheist scholarships, but yes to the Christian scholarships.
Correct.
And where are these atheist scholarships, by the way?
Oh, well, a California school district refused to inform students about a handful of scholarships offered by atheist organizations, like the FFRF and the AHA, and some local organizations giving scholarships to high school students for... remember that scholarship thing we did a few years ago with the HNPS?
The
essay writing contest, that kind of thing, right?
So it's not that they're atheist scholarships, they're just they're scholarships offered by a secular organization.
Right. So like ours,
you're not getting a scholarship just because you're an atheist, is my point.
Well, they're very similar to like ours, where we said write an essay about what it means to be a free thinker.
Right.
So that would be enough to be an atheist scholarship.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So he says.
What does he say here?
He says that even in these schools, they are allowed religious scholarships, Christian scholarships in these schools, but they didn't offer any from the. They didn't share any from the secular groups, right?
Oh, okay.
So some people got mad. FFRF got mad.
Right.
But here's his response to this. To advertise atheist scholarships to all Christian students or Jewish students or even a homosexual student, to say that everyone should be able to get this money if you just renounce your faith, that to me is itself unconstitutional.
I'm confused.
He's saying that in order to apply for these atheist scholarships, you would have to renounce your faith.
That's what I'm
saying.
Then
don't apply for the atheist scholarships.
Well, not only that, I seriously doubt that's what they're actually saying.
No, that's not what they're saying.
That was kind of what my point on being confused was.
Okay.
Because, no.
There's a bit more.
Yeah, well,
he says there's no place for atheist recruiters to come into your schools and recruit children to violate their parents' religion.
But it's okay for the Christians to do it.
Offering Christian scholarships, on the other hand, is totally acceptable.
Of course it is.
Because the majority of students in public schools are Christians.
Yes, of course they are.
For an opportunity to be offered to a Christian child that if they write an essay about God, that they should get Christian scholarship money. That's not bribery.
Not at all.
They're keeping their own religion. You're reinforcing what their parents want their kids' faith to be. This is a parental rights issue.
No, this is a hypocritical thing.
Now, technically, on that last part, I agree. offering Christian scholarships to Christian children because they wrote a Christian essay, fine, whatever. But don't say that atheists can't come in and offer an atheist.
Well, I was going to say, in a Christian school, well, if no, you even, don't want the even, other side to do it as well.
Right.
If you're in a public school, all sides do it. All sides are equal.
Right. So he goes on to say a little bit more. Sure, some atheist parents might object to students being offered a scholarship for writing Christian essays. But that's totally different than saying to Christian children that we're going to bribe you with a scholarship if you convert and renounce your parents' faith, and how great it would be to be an atheist. Now, what he's saying is it's okay for an atheist to write a Christian essay, but it's not okay for a Christian to write an atheist essay.
Hypocrite.
Right.
Exactly.
And so I've wanted to cover this guy for a long time, but he's just so crazy that it's too easy. But I just couldn't ignore this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is low-level crazy for him, by the way. Oh, low-level crazy.
Is it?
Yeah. He said something last week about the homosexual is going to break into your house and have gay sex with you. I can't remember exactly what he said.
Oh, my God. The ignorance of people is mind-boggling, and it makes my head hurt.
Okay, this guy is in a government position in Colorado.
Of course he is, because they're all in the damn power positions.
Right.
I swear those are going to be starting to be called the moron positions.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually doesn't sound right. Never mind. Keep going. Next title, topic.
Next topic. Okay. We have a Mr. Potter update.
Do we now?
Yep. Alabama Chief Justice suspended after unconstitutional ban on same-sex marriage.
On same-sex marriage, yeah. Babe. Rolls off the tongue.
Same-sex marriage.
Anyways.
Anyways. Most of you probably remember Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. We talked about him back in February. He's a Potter winner. Okay. That's why it's the Potter update.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about this very thing. Uh-huh. He faces removal from office for its unconstitutional ban on same-sex marriage.
That's not surprising.
A state commission charged Moore with 6 counts of ethics violations in January of this year. He ordered... No, let me start that over. There should be a pause.
Should there now?
Yeah. In January of this year, he ordered all probate judges in the state to refuse marriage license to same-sex couples, even though Supreme Court had ruled that marriage is a constitutional right and officially made same-sex marriage legal in the United States.
Right.
So we talked about this pretty much in detail.
Yeah, right.
He basically said that there would be no same-sex marriages in his state.
Yeah, which he's the king of his country.
Yeah, he felt that... unelected judges, because he's an elected judge, by the way, didn't have any rights making rules for his state.
Again, king of his country.
Right, which is why he was a Potter winner.
Right, of course.
Now, here's the interesting part. This is the second time he's faced ethics violations as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
Why is he allowed to keep doing this?
Because he got elected.
I don't give a crap.
He was actually removed in 2003 for his actions involving Ten Commandments monument on the courthouse lawn. Uh-huh. He was removed as Supreme Court Chief Justice, right? 10 years later, he's reelected.
People who are electing him are not very bright.
And yeah, it's about to get
a lot...
And that's
saying it nice.
And then it's about to get a lot less bright.
Uh-huh.
There's rumors that he's using this as part of his kickoff for his run for governor.
Why? Okay, I don't understand why people keep voting him in. And then on the other hand, just because he's voted in, why is he allowed to break the law and keep doing it over and over?
He's actually not. That's the whole point. All right, he's being charged with 6 counts of ethics violations. This will get him removed from the bench again.
Yeah, but permanently, or he's going to be back again?
It's an elected position.
He's getting Bernie's or something.
It's an elected position. He's basically being impeached, right? And he can just run again.
Well, that's my point. Why are they allowed to run if they have offenses on their records? Well, it should be like, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but there's other things where if you have a history of something, you are no longer allowed to participate
maybe
in this.
Maybe he should be disbarred.
Okay, fine. Let's go with that.
I could agree with that. Let's have him disbarred. And then he can't be a judge.
I'm sorry. He's basically, he keeps doing it over and over again because there's nothing stopping him.
Yes, I know.
I mean, it's not right for him to have this record and yet keep being allowed to enter into this. I mean, it's like conflict of interest. Sorry, you can't play because you have an involvement. Well, he's got a history. He shouldn't be allowed to play anymore.
Well, I agree.
I mean, the fact that, and that's why he does what he does, because he knows nobody's going to stop him.
But
he's got a power head.
Right. And now the rumor is he's going to run for governor. He's been talking about it already.
And the not very bright people, I could have said something else, really should stop voting for the moron.
You watch. He's got a huge base based on this. Because Alabama, think about it.
I feel sorry for anyone who lives in Alabama, who does have some intelligence and has to be choked by things like that.
I know
the stupidity of some people who don't educate themselves and open up their eyes. And I don't know, I'm just ranting. It's just, I don't even live there and it's irritating. I would visit in the summertime for many, many years, but God, I could not live there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right, moving on.
Yes, please.
Hey, listeners, this is Paul Sadin, creator of Atheist Apocalypse and the Q Podcast, and you're listening to Secular Yakking. As fellow Washingtonians, you know Robert and Amy are good peeps by default and can be trusted with your heathen baby's soul, even if Amy has an aversion to beer. If you'd like to listen to another sacred cow tipper and an actual person who enjoys the blessing that is Pacific Northwest microbrews, come on over to the Q Podcast at theqpodcast.com. Only use the letter Q, please. If you love truly outlandish news and ever wondered what it would be like if atheists ran the world, check out Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com.
Well, this week we've started a new segment. It's going to be history. We're going to work on a name later, I think. But it's going to be, most of you remember Tom Essel, my good friend. He's been on the show a few times. And with that, I'm going to let him introduce his new segment.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for giving me a segment. I feel so special.
Well, you should.
I do. I'm going to be talking about history here on the podcast. It's going to be mostly kind of religious history. I'll try to keep it fun and exciting. I'm actually getting ready to graduate with a undergraduate degree in history, so I am in fact mostly qualified to do this. And from there, I'll just go with it. So the first thing I want to talk about for my first segment is the Treaty of Tripoli.
Well, that's a good one.
It is a good one. I run into this a lot at secular conferences, in secular writing, places like Patheos. You run into the Treaty of Tripoli all the time because there's a statement in there about the United States not being founded on the Christian religion.
Right. I know you've taken me to task on this a couple times.
I've taken several people to task, so don't feel bad. I'll just dive into it. I want to talk a little bit about the context behind the Treaty of Tripoli and what that actually is. So in the 18th and 19th centuries, the states of North Africa, that's Tripoli, Algiers, Morocco, and Tunis, these are collectively known as the Barbary States, they would raid American and European shipping in the Mediterranean Sea. So basically any commercial ships that would go through there, they would go out, seize the ships and the crew, hold them for ransom or sell them into slavery on occasion. Of course, they would seize the cargoes. And to prevent these raids, the Barbary states would charge the European and American states essentially protection money. It was a tribute so that their commercial shipping would not be raided.
Sounds like a pretty good scam.
It is. It's anybody familiar with like gang violence will recognize this.
Right.
It's basically the same idea on a state level. So until independence in 1783, Great Britain paid the protection money on behalf of the American colonies because they were British colonies and their shipping was under the British flag. Of course, with independence, they no longer paid for the American colonies and enter the Treaty of Tripoli. So this was written in 1796 and ratified in 1797. And what the Treaty of Tripoli actually does is it establishes commercial and maritime rights between the United States and Tripoli, and it establishes the amount of tribute to be paid to Tripoli by the United States. It's written in there. It's not a very long document, but I think there's 14 points in there, and there's a receipt for some of the money that they had already delivered.
Okay.
So that's kind of the context behind it. So what does this have to do with atheism? As I mentioned, often secularists will quote the opening part of Article 11 of the treaty,
right,
which reads, "The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion." However, that's not all of Article 11. The whole article reads, "As the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslimmen," and Muslimmen is the 18th century term for Muslims, "and as the said states never have entered into any war or act of hostility against any Mohammedan nation, It is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries.
Okay, so normally on this show, I have to break stuff down for Amy. So how about you break that down for me?
I will break. So what this is doing is it's not establishing necessarily a fact about the United States, but it's defining the relationship between the government of the United States and the government of Tripoli.
Okay.
This is essentially acting as it's a peace treaty combined with a commercial treaty, essentially.
Yeah, so we're talking more like we won't mess with you kind of contract.
Right. So it's essentially saying that religious differences should not be considered a pretext for armed conflict or breaking the treaty. You won't attack us just because we happen to be Christians, because okay. We're not against you and you're not against us. So that's what that's doing. So not in any sense found on the Christian religion means in this context that the United States has no established religion or religious agenda. Most European states at the time had established religions. England had the Church of England. Spain was the Catholic Church. And the Dutch Republic until 1795 had the Dutch Reformed Church. So most European states have a government-sponsored religion. United States did not.
Right.
What's interesting is that the Treaty of Tripoli is actually just a convenient shorthand. And the actual title of the treaty kind of gives you more an idea of what's going on in the treaty. And that the name of it, the official name, is the Treaty of Peace and Friendship between the United States of America and the Bey and subjects of Tripoli of Barbary. And also, there were multiple treaties of Tripoli. That's something that's actually not well known.
Yeah.
In 1801, the original Treaty of Tripoli, the one that everyone quotes, was actually broken by Tripoli. They attacked American shipping, which made the treaty void. And this led to the start of the First Barbary War. And that ended in 1805, and another treaty was signed with Tripoli. That was very, very similar to the previous one, although in the new one, the not founded on Christian religion language was removed from the article about that.
Okay.
So that is what's going on. So really, what's the point here? So the lesson here is to stop quoting the Treaty of Tripoli.
Right.
Because it isn't what you think it is.
Apparently not.
Yeah, you're quoting a commercial and maritime diplomatic treaty between two sovereign powers, not a treatise on religion in America. If you want to read about religion in America, get Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, which is really great. Anybody interested in American history should read it. But don't quote the Treaty of Tripoli. And if you do quote it, understand its context, meaning, and purpose. I've even run across secularists who think that the Treaty of Tripoli is actually still in force.
That's interesting because, you know, I thought it was, well, except where there's no Barbary Coast.
Yeah, anymore. There's no Barbary States anymore.
Yeah.
It's not in force. The countries don't exist anymore.
Right. It's kind of hard to enforce a contract with a non-entity.
And I also just want to say this is a lesson that people in the secular movement really need to check their own biases on occasion. Don't make political points using history just by warping the history.
Right.
That's what people like David Barton do when they point to, you know, Creator in the Declaration of Independence and say, well, there you go. United States is founded as a religious nation. Well, that's really warping the context of that time period.
Right.
And that is that does it for my first segment in history. There will actually be kind of a companion post, I guess you want to call it, on the blog I write for, Danthropology. It'll be a little bit longer and more in-depth, so you can check that out on danthropology.com. It'll take you to the page.
Yep, I will definitely check that out, and I'll put a link in the show notes to the Dan's website.
Yes, please do that, and I don't know what I'm going to do next week, but I'll think of something good. I picked on the secularists this week, so I might pick on the religious people next week.
That sounds like a good plan, and okay. I am certainly looking forward to repeating this.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Yep.
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
All righty, so we're doing Bailey this time?
We're doing Bailey this time.
All right.
Each session of the United States House and Senate begins with an opening invocation delivered by either a chaplain of the chamber or a guest invited by a member of Congress.
Right.
The custom has brought reverends, rabbis,
slow down, babe.
Rabbis, priests, and imams to the floor to address lawmakers. And though there are no written rules determining exactly who can and cannot lead these ceremonies, the House chaplain recently told atheists that they are not welcome.
Well, that's BS.
Right.
Okay, go
ahead. I kind of figured this was the way it was, because I thought about applying myself, but that's a long way to go.
Oh, we are so not going that far.
I bet you I could get funding for it.
I'm not listening to you. Go.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a nonprofit that advocates for separation of church and state, says House Chaplain Patrick Conroy unconstitutionally discriminated against the group's co-president when he blocked him from leading a secular invocation. On Thursday, the FFRF filed a lawsuit against Conroy. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and others ask U.S. District Court and the District of Columbia for relief. So basically, they're asking for the U.S. District Court to defend their chaplain.
Right.
Which is interesting because this is blatantly unconstitutional based on the Obergefell decision.
Well, and it's not even a question, so I don't understand why this is even being an issue. It's pretty black and white.
Not the Obergefell decision. That's a totally different decision. The Greece versus Galloway.
No, I know what you meant, but what I'm saying is it's clear. It's not a question.
Right. So if they allow any religion.
Exactly.
And Supreme Court has said atheism, when it comes to First Amendment protections, is a religion.
That's right. Which is the only time I accept that, by the way.
Right. It's the only time most of us accept it. It's even said humanism is a religion when it comes to First Amendment protections.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's even having to come up in conversation, why it's needing to be debated. This kind of stuff is such a waste of time. It's clear as, you know, a bell. It's black and white.
Yeah. The complaint claims Conroy's process for vetting guest chaplains is discriminatory. Dan Barker, the co-president of the FFRF, says he was told he'd be required to have a house sponsor, present a certificate showing he was officially ordained, and to address a higher power in his observance.
That is such BS. I guarantee you they don't ask all that crap from the other people.
Well, they don't have to.
And regardless, a higher power? No, you don't dictate who. This is the only time I think, you know, you accept atheism being called religion. But you don't tell someone else what they have to do for their religion.
Exactly.
I mean, that they have to address a higher power. You can kiss my butt. I don't think so.
Even though the FFRF feels these rules are unfair and designed to exclude atheists, Barker was actually able to meet them.
Uh-huh.
First, he found a sponsor, Representative Mark Pocan. I think it's Pocan.
Okay.
It's like pecan. Pecan.
No, it looks like Pocan. Anyways, move on.
Who represents the district where the FFRF headquarters are located.
Uh-huh.
Then Barker provided proof of his ordination. He's a former Church of Christ minister, uh-huh. I want to say.
So he had to jump through these hoops,
right,
which he did do, but he shouldn't have had to.
Well, there's certain things. You know, getting a sponsor, fine.
Right.
I had to go through getting a sponsor, right?
Uh-huh.
Being ordained in something.
Right.
Okay, fine, because I'm ordained.
Right.
Right.
But it sounds like they're trying to make it as hard for him as possible.
It's the last one that causes the problems.
Okay.
He even provided a draft of his planned remarks to the chaplain.
Okay.
And to show that he was genuine and not seeking to mock the practice.
Right, which you kind of went through something like that on one of your invocations.
So when I did the State House...
you did a draft.
No, they didn't ask for a draft. But the lady who sponsored me wrote to me... And said that she wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to do anything that would bring disrespect to the position.
Right. I get that.
Right, because she was taking a huge chance sponsoring. Because it's the first time a humanist had done an invocation at the State House.
Right, okay.
But this is a totally different situation. They just completely turned him down because he is an atheist.
Of course.
Which is why they're suing him.
I would too.
So it's not like they're suing the federal government, which is fine. They're suing him because he is being discriminatory against another citizen.
Now, to back the choo-choo up a bit, the Bailey Award is for...
Oh, the FFRF. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of an important thing. And Dan Barker. Mentioned in the front.
Yeah, and Dan Barker in particular.
Right. See, that you have to be clear on who your awards are for.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't for Conroy.
I recommend you do that up front.
Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Because
just leave them guessing.
Ugh, you're frustrating. But anyways.
Anyways, what?
Give me what?
I think that's all the yakking I got for tonight.
I know it is for me. My throat's killing me.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.